Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh Chavda, presented by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Praise God. Let's all stand. Thank you, Lord. Put your hands up. We want to lift up Jesus. Say, Lord God, I'm lifting up the name of Jesus. We bow before the living God. He is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We welcome His presence. We say, Holy Spirit of God, you are welcome. You are welcome. You're welcome into this church. You're welcome into my life. You're welcome into my children's life. Come, Holy Spirit. Exalt the name of Jesus. You are worthy, Lord. We bow before you. We worship you. King of kings, Lord of lords. At your name, every knee bows. Every tongue confesses, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Now give Him a big clap. We thank you, Father. We bow before you. We extol your name. Praise God. And give the worship team a big clap too. Thank you, Michael and the team. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. It's great to see you guys in this on this winter, January, first month of 2020. Now, I really like to pay special attention to some of the major points of how what we're doing and what the journey consists of. And often, I don't know how many of you remember, we were able to get one of the great rabbis. Couple of times he was free enough, he came this way, and Rabbi Lapin. But he made an impact on my life. And the wisdom, of course, he has written some great literature. But one of the things he said that impressed me is basically one of the points of his life, what he teaches and shares. A lot of basic principles that make up our life, that some of those major points are found for our journey, for every individual journey and corporate journey, that so much truth is found in the book of Exodus, that you will often be able to find out at certain times in your life, wow, this really has a point, and it guides our life. So as I have been observing some of the events that are happening, there are some amazing events. And then you see the ongoing spiritual warfare. I shared, and we want to be aware of some of them, that we have begun this year with corporate seeking the Lord's face and His presence on a corporate fast. And that is an important way to begin the journey. We find some of those models in the book of Ezra and some of the themes of how Daniel turned his face towards the living God. The fast that he had in the book of Daniel, we find, and that was a 21-day fast. When Jesus began his journey was, as the ministry, his ministry, he was released, and it began, first, he began with a 40-day fast. And you learn from some of this, so it's really part of God's wisdom, that, and it's a good idea. Turn to your neighbor, say, it's a good idea. And that we have learned, if we do some basic obeying of the Lord, it takes care of some certain things. For example, and it'll come up in some context or another, but your doctor, for example, will say, listen, winter season is coming, and after a certain age, there will, you know, if you are 30, 25, you don't have to worry about it. But after you get into later years, into 50s and then 60s, that the doctor will say, I would recommend a flu shot. Yeah. Right? Has he told you that? Yeah. And we have a small disagreement in our house where I really take some of those things seriously. And then you could sell me any kind of vitamin or natural supplement, and I would buy it. I believe that. And I believe that too. And Bonnie is questioned everything. I don't know. So, anyway, but whatever helps, and we learn on the journeys, these are some of the principles that will help us successfully go together. And it's better to go together through the journey than be all alone. Like Bob Mumford used to say, God took aside the Lone Ranger, took away his mask, and shot his horse. So he did not want to basically say the Lord's plan or a part of his plan he provided from the models we see in the book of Acts. As the church makes its journey, the individual believers, you recommended to come journey with the church of Jesus Christ, with a community. You're not supposed to deal with these problems all alone. So praise God for his family, and praise God for the wisdom that God gives us. So anyway, and as we begin this journey together, I knew that we would meet with certain challenges. So now, suddenly, the last few days, we have this big virus. And you see some of the scenes on the internet, and it's kind of scary that in the Wuhan province of China, there are people that are keeling over, and I see blotches over there. What is that? I'm kidding. I told them that we wanted to show some pictures. You have any idea what those pictures are? I think it's some of the pictures as far as a microscope is concerned, and what they're investigating of the virus that is beginning to flow. How many of you, there were some scary movies a few years ago. One was called Contagion, and there was another one that it was Brad Pitt, that people, after they're hit by this virus, they become zombies. Huh? World War Z, right? Yeah. I prayed some basic foundational. One thing I said is, Lord, you take me home before I turn into a zombie. One thing I don't want to be is be a zombie. I just can't do that. Oh. So, but it brings us to certain basic directions for us. What should we do there? And I just felt like it is so good and so important that here, we came here and we started with worship. Oh, there it is. That's some shots from the Wuhan province. And the people are wearing outfits so that they, to the degree they can, they want to take the precautions not to catch this virus. But if they have shut down this whole province, they cannot come out of it. There are about 11 million people in the Wuhan province. This is the latest. But they're finding, even though they have tried to control the virus, and, you have heard and heard reports in the past, there was a big, in the early part of the last century, there was a huge influenza epidemic that killed thousands of people in America. So these are serious affairs. And we pray that they do take precautions. And there used to be that there was certain nations that would be embarrassed that this thing came from, and they wouldn't talk about it, they wouldn't publicize the dangers. So that has happened also, but really a lot of the people who report about this said they are really surprised and pleasantly that where the Chinese authorities are concerned, they have really not tried to hide anything. They're really letting everybody know this is how the precautions we are making. They reported, and I don't know how many of you read this, that they believe, just like the other virus some few years ago, that came from pigs. What was that called? Huh? Yeah. That one. So, this one, I got to just tell you from my experiences and all that, in the 80s, I did over a number of years, I did several crusades among the Chinese in Taiwan, especially. There were the cities of Taipei, Hsinchu, Kaohsiung, all of those population centers that you guys never have heard, that I was familiar, and then it was a lot of fun to learn about cultures, and it was quite enlightening. But after, you have seen what we do with, we would declare the gospel. I remember some great miracles happening in Hsinchu, and Kaohsiung was known for its markets at night. After the healing service, I would be through around 1 o'clock. And you would say, well, it's time to go home. No, for the pastors, we would go out. And in the streets, this was during the summertime, so there would be a lot of restaurants there that would be open, that would be out on the streets. And some of the best food you've eaten, you could sit down, eat the food, but there would be just... You pick the food, so you pick the lobster, you pick the crabs, all of it is fresh. But there was a section, I remember them, the pastors telling me, Pastor, if you would like to eat fresh snake, there are some good restaurants. And you would say, snakes? Hey. But in their culture, that was acceptable. The reason I'm saying it is they believe that this coronavirus may have come from either snake saliva or bat saliva. And in some of those cultures, they've learned to take advantage of anything that flies, crawls, or jumps, whatever, they will make some kind of dish. And those dishes are delicious. Anyway, I didn't need to talk about this, but I did anyway because they're saying that this virus could be that correct me if you read otherwise, but they either could be from consuming bat meat, and they have supposedly, I've never had it, but they have from bat wing soup, that this could have come from that, or snake. Now, there is a method in my madness, because I will lead you to a scripture that mentions snakes and serpents. And the point we are making also is one of the great guarantees to keep the plague away is lift up the name of Jesus. And that's one of the best things you can do as a precaution against these viruses. It can easily break loose, just like the flu virus in the early part of the 1900s was terrible, and it took a terrible toll. Also, by the way, then there was, I think it was in the 20s and 30s, there was a huge spread of the polio virus that would hit many children. Franklin Roosevelt was hit by the polio. I mean, it did not matter whether you were rich or poor. He came from a very rich family, and yet he was affected terribly by the polio virus. So but the Lord has given us a remedy, and I want to point that out. There are two aspects I want to touch tonight for us, and then we'll go to worship and praise and thanksgiving. But it shows, I said, as we begin this year, it's a year of great promise, of promises fulfilled. It's number 20. I mean, this is 2020, the double 20, and that it has significance in the Bible, that after the 20th year, Jacob was able to get all that had been promised to him. He got his wife Rachel completely, that he was able, could take her away, that he had his inheritance. All that was owed to him came back to him. And so the 20th year is a significant year. We are going to come into a prophetic year that I want to claim all the blessings. There are some major positive stuff. And that we stand together against any plague. No weapon formed against us can prosper. And no plague, it says in Psalm 91, that no plague can come near our house. So as they talk about this, we need to take, I don't want to take things for granted. I want to say, all right, Lord, we are going to take the proper spiritual protections. We're going to affirm and be in faith and use the weapons of our warfare. We don't want to be like ignoramuses. The word is active and alive and helps us in this hour. Rich would know. Some of you may not know, but the Monty Python, there used to be a very funny comedy show in the 60s and 70s called the Monty Python Flying Circus. And I used to follow it, and one of its main stars passed on to glory this week. But it had a very funny little thing that they used to do where they did about the plague that went through the England. And they would have carts going out, and they would say, bring out your dad, bring out your dad. And you're not supposed to laugh at that, but anyway. And you're supposed to, you know, if there's any dead bodies, you bring them up, throw them in this cart. And then someone who's throwing the cart moves and said, I'm not dead. I'm not dead. Yes, you are. No, I'm not dead. Then I hit him on the head, and they take him on. Anyway, if you are a Monty Python fan, you would know what I'm talking about. All right. I better give you the word. Huh? Yeah. Very much so. And the other one was the knights. And as they said, it's only a flesh wound. Both his arms are cut off and his legs are cut off. I can still fight. It's only a flesh wound. Bonnie would quote that. I used to make her sit and watch those Monty Python things with me. All right. First, Gospel of John. Look at chapter 3, verse 14. John chapter 3, verse 14. I'm reading from the Message Bible. In the same way that Moses lifted the serpent in the desert, so people could have something to see and then believe, it is necessary for the Son of Man to be lifted up, and everyone who looks up to him, trusting and expectant, will gain a real life, eternal life. So there is something very important in the serpent being lifted up. So let's look at that in Numbers 21. And you find there are several incidents like this that in the 14 years, remember I said Rabbi Lappin, one of the great rabbis and teachers of the word in this era, who came here twice, that he talked about the book of Exodus. You'll find a lot of great principles in it that will help guide us. The word in the Old Testament and the New Testament is there to guide us. So, Numbers 21, verse 5. Are you there? Numbers 21, verse 5. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. They would always, I'm surprised that the Lord didn't destroy all of them. Because there was so often they would murmur and they would gripe. And God provided everything for them, but they would still start murmuring and griping. And you always rebelling against God and against the human leadership that the Lord had arranged for them to have, Moses, Aaron, etc. And so that this time again, they did it again. People spoke against God, against Moses. The complaint was, why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loathed this light bread. So they didn't like the manna. They got tired of the manna. We want croissants. We want nice bread. I want some donuts. And and the Lord said, verse 6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. These are not grass snakes. These are fiery ones. If they bite you, you die. How many of you have ever been bitten by a snake? Have you ever had that experience? I was bitten. My mother was bitten many years ago by a poison snake in Africa. It's quite something. Horribly painful. She was in great agony. Weirdly enough, I used to go on at night, walk by the lake and get driftwood. I might resume it. I used to have a hobby of painting driftwood, and people would buy it. This is well in my time between college and graduate school. So walking by, and then I picked up at this driftwood. I didn't realize that there were poison scorpions around there, and a scorpion bit me. Believe me, when there is a real big poison scorpion, I mean, you would know there is something badly wrong. I mean, the pain went all the way. I thought I was going to die anyway. So, but these guys, it says the Lord arranged it. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. So, this is the Lord wanted to get them tasty. You listen, you have protection, you have food, you have blessing, you have the pillar of fire by night, the cloud by day, and you're still griping. This is not good for you. And so they started dying off. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, that's one good thing. They came to their senses. We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Now here, see, it's not like God did not say, okay, magic, you are all healed. There had to be certain steps by which they could get redeemed. The Lord gave them instructions. If you obey, it's simple. But if you don't want to die, here is the remedy. Now, for these poison fiery serpents, make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looks upon it, shall live. How many of you, if you have noticed, when you go to a doctor's office, there are certain times, some emblems, there'll be a pole and then a serpent wrapped around it. That's from this legend, or real story, really. This happened on the Bible Adventure, that there were fiery serpents, and that the Lord provided a remedy. But it wasn't, okay, clap your hands and jump up and down. No, it was something real. Moses had to do something, and he had a brazen pole, and he put a serpent on it. And here is what the Lord said. If a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld a serpent of brass, so he had to look at the serpent, the model of a bronze snake wrapped on this pole, hold it up way high. And if you had faith to look, listen, God has provided a remedy. You don't have to die. And you don't have, this pain will stop and you will get healed. Look this up. God has made a provision for your healing. And it is the fiery serpent. And Moses made a serpent of brass, put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Say, he lived. I assume she lived also. I mean, both men and women. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in Oboth. Anyway, so they got healed. And the tradition is even today respected that if you want to be healed, look at the serpent. And then we saw, again, the scripture that was given to us in John. In the same way that Moses lifted the serpent in the desert so people could have something to see and then believe. It is necessary for the Son of Man to be lifted up, and everyone who looks up to him, trusting and expectant, will gain a real life, eternal life. So today, we are in faith. I mean, from any time that you have been saved, somehow, you, one way or the other, you have looked on Jesus being lifted up. And why the serpent? Because Jesus took all our sins, and in fact, to the degree that he represented sin, and he took the poison of all our lives, basically, hanging on a tree. And then, if you would look to it, you would be healed. When the glory came, I remember certain nights in some of the places I've gone. In Pakistan, for example, when Derek Prince, and I've told you that story, but we have pictures that as we proclaim the gospel and look up to Jesus, that a woman born blind without eyes, God planted, the Holy Spirit planted eyes. That's Derek Prince said, that is the greatest miracle he ever saw. But that we can look unto Jesus, and that I saw, I mean, there were certain nights, there were almost everyone who was paralyzed got up. Everyone that was blind, I mean, they got healed. It was something that was, I just was flowing with the Lord. Even I could not understand the degree of healing that the Lord provided, because we pointed people to Jesus. So part of our mission, even now, tonight, we are declaring, Lord, we are looking on the fiery serpent. We are looking at Jesus. He hung on the cross. That's why as the worship team, we were joining with them and lifting up Jesus here in this area, in the Carolinas. We are lifting up a part of a company, men and women, lifting up Jesus, saying, he is the one. And look to him. We worship him. We honor him. And whichever way we can lift him, corporately, we are broadcasting right now on the World Wide Web and telling wherever. And God will do the rest. God will have people click on to this website, and they will see Jesus and be saved, be healed. He, on the cross, took every curse of every family on earth. This is only God can do it. Only the Son of God could do that. But we can declare to every nation, every family, look to Jesus. We're lifting him up, and every poison culture, every dark spirit, wherever the people are under the yoke, where the serpent has bitten and they are in wrong philosophies, antichrist religions are oppressing them, that we can tell them, listen, there is hope, healing, and deliverance in Jesus. So as part of this is we are saying right now, Jesus took the curse, you evil curse of coronavirus. You cannot come. We are pleading the blood of Jesus over our families. We are pleading the blood of Jesus over our region, over Charlotte, over Fort Mill, over Charleston, over Bombay. I plead the blood of Jesus over Moscow, wherever there are people. I mean, they are stopping people who have been in the Wuhan province. And this is for real. So there was an American who had happened to be in Wuhan and traveled back to America. And the moment he was in America, so 2-3 days later, he got sick. And they believe he has this virus. So, but we are asking the Lord, Lord, hear our cry. We are lifting up Jesus, who truly took every curse, every infirmity, and he took the effect of the coronavirus. So we are standing against this plague in the name of Jesus. And we are pleading the blood of Jesus. And we have every right. And Moses and the brazen serpent that he lifted is a type. But John 3, here it is, the scripture. This is a type of where we, Jesus, really took every curse, every virus, every infirmity, and by his stripes we are healed. So our job is just like Moses, is to lift up the name of Jesus. Lift up with our worship, our praise, our thanksgiving, and say, thank you, Lord. I plead the blood of Jesus over our families or our children. This plague will not come near us. And as he did so, the plague was stopped. And the people who looked were healed. Make thee a fiery serpent. Set it upon a pole. It shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looks up, it shall live. Basically then, no, everyone who is bitten, well, basically, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So all of us, it's not that I'm so, oh yeah, I don't need it. Everybody needs to look in faith at Jesus. You can't pretend. You have to look and say, that's where my source is. He is taking my sins. He's taking all the poison of these fiery serpents. And by his stripes, by the stripes on Jesus, I am healed. So we stand against the coronavirus. So Numbers, remember the scripture of Numbers 21 starts with, and Moses made it, verse 9 is the main key, made a serpent of brass, put it upon a pole, and it came to pass, the serpent had bitten any man. When he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Say he lived. So we are declaring it as a word to all the nations. Look on Jesus. Let's lift him up. That's part of our job. And the other lesson, by the way, is it's not smart to hang around griping people. If they're in the griping mode, God has provided everything. And it's griping, griping. There is a spirit that you can pick up when everything is fine, and yet have you found some people that find something to criticize, something to be disappointed by, where God has provided everything. So part of our job is to, in everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Pray without ceasing. We're going to do that. We are continuing to do that. Thank you, Lord, that there is a source here. We can come together, sing praises to him, and we plead the blood around the boundaries of the Carolinas. Lord, and our nation, we pray for other neighboring nations. Lord, may the other nations, their intercessors, pick up this word too and plead the blood and lift up Jesus and tell the plague, stop. You cannot go any further in Jesus' name. By faith, put the blood over your home, over each of your rooms. Just like they're telling you, when you have been around anything like this, wash your hands. Wash your hands a lot of times. That's one of the things that said. But you, it's important to take the basic precautions. Thank God it's not come to this, in this geography, but it might. Well, we are asking the Lord. We're going to be in faith. We're going to thanking the Lord and asking the Lord to put a canopy. The coronavirus will not hit this nation. And if it does, that we plead the blood, that it will cease in Jesus' name. I do want to take note, the other thing here tonight, is that today, it is just today's news, this present president, President Donald Trump is the first president who showed up at the March for Life. And since 1973, I remember that. Hallelujah. Put that again. And there have been many presidents. I mean, going back, way back, I mean, to the times of Reagan or 1973, we have had, Bonnie and I have had a burden for life and being pro-life. Since 77, we moved. I got married to Bonnie in 76. Then we moved to help Brother Derek Prince pastor the church that he helped start there, and we were the team that helped them start. But Bonnie and I had the privilege of starting among the first pro-life clinic where women who would have gone to abort their child, we were able to start a clinic. It was one of the first ones I know of that was in that city, in that area. We started this pro-life clinic where people could no longer, they could get all the information and doctor that they could have go for life, not for destroying the baby. And then we would connect, people were connected to adoption agencies. And one of the things that we have, this church is pro-life. I just want to say without any apology that we honor babies. We honor the life that's in the womb. And we know it's a living. It's not a fetus and it's not some kind of tissue. It is a life given by God. And every baby is precious. So we are so proud. No president has had the character or whatever you call it, the integrity or the courage. I said, this man's got guts, if pardon the expression. I don't want to even say it's courage, it's a guts. I mean, he's gutsy. He showed up there. Even though George W. Bush and George Bush, they said, oh yeah, we're pro-life. But when it came time to stand and help, they would be disappeared. They would not be just as active as this president had me. So it makes me want to pray for him even more aggressively for his protection. May he be anointed. May he be safe. I'm so proud that he did what he did today. Today was very historic, where the whole anti-abortion, pro-life movement is concerned. Proud of all the ladies especially who have been faithful. Of course, the men who have marched for life all these many years since Roe v. Wade. And but I gave the figure about 70 million, the babies that have been aborted. That's a whole bunch of, it's terrible. But we want to say we are for every precious life, and that it, look at Matthew chapter 1. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. So she is not found with a fetus or a bunch of tissue. That was a child. Say child. So God sees that little one as a child. It's a baby. And so basically, the basic truth that I want to emphasize here is, what authority rules your life? What authority guides our life to make the major decisions? And our guide is the Word of God. The Bible is the chief authority in our lives. We're guided by the Word of God. And the Word of God holds every child, every baby in the womb, precious as a gift from the Lord. So Mary did not carry a fetus. She carried a child. The Bible's logic tells us that that is a baby. And with Psalm 39, sorry, taking me. I get sometimes this iPad gives me troubles. So, Psalm 139, and okay, I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, in my book. All my members were written, which in continuous were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Anyway, from the beginning, from day one, when a baby is conceived, life is there. It's not when the baby comes from the mommy's tummy. The baby is a baby, is a living, breathing person. And just because they said abortion is legal does not mean it's not. It's unacceptable. Now, I have all these many years being a pastor, and people knowing us in the healing ministry, there is forgiveness in the name of Jesus. So I would never, anyone who has had to have an abortion, I had great feelings of compassion for a little girl, sometimes teenagers, suddenly get pregnant, and then they feel all alone, and I have compassion when they feel like backed into a corner and people talk with them and tell them, no, there is, you can abort the baby. I had to stand against one of the biggest many moons ago. First, I was the young pastor. And I had counseled the daughter of a very, very outstanding citizen, very rich. And everyone was telling her, get an abortion. I don't know why she ended up, she was not a member of my church, ended up getting counsel from us and from me. And I said, no, that little one in your tummy is a living, breathing human being. And it ended up, I mean, there were real major sides pulling and pushing. And I'm thankful that she listened. But when you have an abortion, I don't want to meditate too much on that aspect, but it can deeply wound a person's psyche. And then I've had to pray for many women that years later it comes back, haunts them. And we have to, I've done some counseling, of course, the blood of Jesus covers even that sin. So the Lord forgives and heals, but only if they come to the Lord and come in repentance and get washed from the every effect of the abortion that happened. But we pray, you know, God's mercy there. But I thank the Lord that today there was a major victory, that our president gave all his support and stood publicly for the child that's in the tummy. And we stand against every power of darkness that would try to lead our nation where abortion is a great benefit, and trying to exalt and put women where they feel cornered and then they get abortion. There are, on the other aspect, just wanted to say, I've had to counsel so many and pray for so many beautiful people who have tried and tried and have a child, and they can't have a child. I'll tell you, that was one of the things that we were able to do in the clinic that we helped. It was one of the pioneering clinics in the South Florida area that we were able to guide many families to get children, where we told young ladies who got kind of into a position where they were going to get an abortion, nope, you will be provided shelter, and if you would like, there will be a wonderful Christian family ready to adopt this baby. And have you've probably known, how many of you have known people who are beautiful Christians who are trying to have a child? Have you known that? That would make some of the best parents. And I say, may we just be able to connect those people who want to have a child and they can adopt. I'm all for adoption. God bless all those that actively involved in this aspect of the ministry of getting people connected to the child who has not been aborted. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. That's a victory. Say victory. Victory. Amen. Michael, let's sing, put the blood of Jesus over ourselves. Let's sing for a song, and then I'm going to have, in fact, let's pray against that virus thing. All right? And then we'll sing. All right, Richie, you can come on up. And then we'll lay hands on people who need prayer tonight. Amen. So, amen. Let's stand for a moment. Hold, if you have a neighbor nearby, just hold your hands. We want to agree in prayer that the Lord will put a canopy, fresh canopy of protection over us, that as Moses lifted up Jesus, the brass serpent, that we are holding up Jesus, his name, and that no virus, no plague can come near us. We take authority over the plague. Gotta pray in tongues for a moment. Hallelujah. Put a canopy over this area. We pray. And also we pray for the Wuhan province in China, that the Lord will stay the plague over there. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, your words say they overcame the enemy, the accuser, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. We thank you, Lord, that on the cross, Jesus took every curse. And in his name, we take authority over the coronavirus, Lord. Wherever that poison came from, whether it was from a snake, or bats, wherever, we take authority over the plague in Jesus' name. As in Numbers 16, as Moses and Aaron took that incense and went around the people, and the plague was stopped. We stop the plague right now with our prayers, pleading the blood of Jesus over ourselves, over our families, over every home, over this region, Lord God. We pray, stop it, Lord, that we are grateful that Charlotte is a great airport, that multiple thousands come every week from all over the world. Stop any plague that would come. You know, Lord, we appoint angels to stand guard around us, around every family, Lord. We plead the blood. Hallelujah. Harabasha. Pray in tongues for a moment. Again, thank you. We apply the blood in faith. We apply the blood. We overcome. Glory. Glory.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.